If you would, not Ephesians, but 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 10. Today is Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday. What do we signify in communion? What is this all about? Is this merely a ritual of the church? A religious rite that developed over time that really has no real significance, but it's just something that Christians do, a tradition? Or is this very significant? And has the church lost its way in its significance? Why do I bring that up? We live in a world now of great deception. If ever there was a day and age in which there is deception, today is the day. And in the age of deception, with this current circumstance in the world is, telling the truth, in the age of a deception like we're in, is a radical thing to do. For all of our government, our media, even our religious leaders are deceptive and do no longer tell the truth. What really goes on? We have no idea. Because this day and age is the media deceiving you on everything. You don't even know what's going on. Today there is an atmosphere in our world that stands in complete defiance of what you're doing this morning in communion. Communion is a testimony that we as a people are in need of God's saving grace, which God gave to us through Jesus the Messiah. But today, there is a reigning philosophy in university and in institutions of learning and in the media that says this: there is no such thing as sin. It is not real. Today in university, where your children and grandchildren go, they teach that there is no such thing as wrong or right in any certain sense. They teach them that we are the product of a Big Bang, and through mindless chance, random chance of a lightning bolt striking a puddle of mud, allegedly billions of years ago, life emerged. And through random blind chance, a little tiny cell emerged. From that, something came out of the sea. And from that, the dinosaurs. And from that, some type of hominid ancestors that swung in the trees, and from that, here you are. The only difference between what the teachers teach the children in school and a fairy tale is, if a princess walked up to a frog and turned that frog into a prince, you would immediately say that's a fairy tale. But if you add 5 billion years to that story, you have science. The implications of what they teach our children are profound. They now teach that since we are products of evolution, there is no right, there is no wrong. And that any right or wrong is because we have agreed as a society that it's right or wrong. There's nothing truly right or wrong about right or wrong. It's just that you and I have agreed upon right or wrong. Why is murder wrong? Because we have agreed upon it. Not that it's intrinsically wrong to kill. Now, a Christian would say, wait, we're killing people in the image of God. That's why murder is wrong. They were made in God's image, but that's not what they teach today. Today, there are classes where when the professor says we need to reduce the population of the world from 7 billion to 500 million, the class breaks out in applause. Harvard, Yale, Stanford, USC, UCLA, they are training our children that murder isn't wrong, that reducing the world population is an act of righteousness, and that animals now have more value than the human. They teach our children that rape occurs because we are apes or descend from hominid ape-like creatures, and that is the biological drive of the species, so that when that happens, rape happens, it is merely fulfilling your ancestral genes. There's no wrong or right in it. That we are not naturally monogamous. That our species is more naturally to have many partners. And that because we live longer, society is moving toward being married to someone for 20 to 30 years and then switching, because life will be too long to be stuck with one partner over that period of time. This is all what they teach. This is what they're doing in school to your children and your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren from the very beginnings of their training in elementary school, believe it or not. What they are doing now is declaring, in essence, from a Christian point of view, there is no such thing as sin. As a matter of fact, if you talk about sin, you are imposing your standard of morality on others, and there is no such thing as morality, for there is no such thing as right or wrong. You have no idea what your kids are facing in school. That's why you see these things coming out in the media on everything that's on the media. Do what you want is the sum total of the morality of today. That's it. When you take communion, though, you, by this partaking of the elements, are declaring, number one, the holiness of God, that He created us, and that man is fallen, and there is a sense of holiness and unrighteousness in us. But before you get too shocked that our world would go that way, this has happened before. For John, in this book, was in a congregation in modern day, what we would call modern day Turkey. It's been in the news. But it was called in his day Asia Minor. And there were a group of Christians that went to secular university in Asia Minor and came home with the idea, are you ready? There is no such thing as sin. Can you believe that? The church actually started teaching in John's congregation that there is no such thing as sin. Go do what you want, they were teaching. There is no such thing as sin. That's what John's 1 John is about. What goes around comes around. There's nothing new. And John has to correct this congregation because they've been at secular teaching places that told them there's no such thing as sin, don't worry about it. And John, in the immediate part of his epistle, says some things. So let's go to 1 John 1:5. And this is the message which we heard from him and announced to you. Who's the him? The preaching of Jesus. What did Jesus preach? God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. What does it mean, God is light? John is teaching that God is, are you ready? Holy. Light in John is a symbol for the holiness of God. Did you know that God is holy? That wrong and right are anchored in his character? And that he expects us to act and behave in certain ways because these are his standards of holiness? In communion, we are acknowledging that God is holy and that he expects his children to be holy. What is holiness? To be conformed to the character of God. That we know right from wrong and that we do what is right in his eyes. God is light. Then John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but are walking in darkness. So here is some in John's group. They went to church. But they were walking in their activities in disobedience to God's word. If we say here, we have fellowship with God and Jesus and are walking in darkness, here is the conclusion John tells those people who say they know the Lord but do not live in righteousness and holiness. They lie and do not do the truth. So what would a Christian tell university that's teaching our children? There is no wrong or right. You know what what a Christian response would be? You're damnable liars. Their response, how dare you impose your morality on us? Then look what John says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, that means living a life that pleases God in holiness, of doing what God wants us to do according to his commandments. The greatest commandment is what? If you love God, you'll obey his commandments. If you love God, you'll love one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Listen to me, beloved. It says we have fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. You know what that means? Christians cannot have fellowship with other Christians who are not walking according to the standards of God's word. God doesn't say, if he's a Christian, I can have a relationship with them if they are walking in darkness, not obeying God, that we are not to be fellowshipping with them. Boy, that's tough. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. In other words, Christian, if there's another Christian that is not walking in obedience to God's word, we are commanded not to be in fellowship with them. And the blood of Jesus Christ, when we walk in sanctification, cleanses us from all sin. Today, they're taught sin is an illusion. You're, by communion, declaring sin is a reality. Matter of fact, it's a historical reality. For the only reason why Jesus came was why? To correct what our great grandfather did. Do you know who our great grandfather was? According to evolution, you had a great grandmother. Evolutionists say the female began the species. God's word said, sorry ladies, the man began the species. And the man sinned. And the rest resulted in all of us are sinners. I had my DNA done this week. The biggest shock was that I'm a mongrel. I have no pure anything, but the worst shock of all, I have more Neanderthal genes in me than 99% of the population. Have you ever seen the caveman commercials? So ladies, you can explain when your husband does the things he does by saying he has more caveman genes than anybody else. That was a real shock to me. But if we trace back all of this, you'd go back to Adam. And because our great-grandfather disobeyed God, he plunged us into unrighteousness, and we're acknowledging that in communion. Then look what John says. If we should say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Do you know that when man today says sin is an illusion, do you know who they're calling a liar? God. For the whole of the history of the Bible is this. Man sinned. God loved a sinful person, sent his son. And when these professors in university with their PhDs piled higher and deeper. That's what PhD stands for. And let me tell you something. I know what's piled higher and deeper in that term. These idiots call God a liar, and they will stand before God for the liar they called God. And he says this. If we say that we have not sinned, we call him a liar. And the word, or his word, verse 10, is not in us. Believe me, he's talking about Christians who bought into a lie that they weren't sinners. Can you believe that? It's happening today in God's church. Today, if you partake in communion, you are declaring yourself a sinner who is in need of God's cleansing forgiveness through Jesus.